Hey, welcome back to the Akesha Kinche podcast. I'm really excited to share this episode with you because today we shine the spotlight on the incredibly talented Kareem Virgo. He's the founder of Reem Photography. Kareem is a luxury wedding photographer whose extraordinary work has graced the pages of esteemed publications like Vogue, People, Essence, and more. He's not only a talented photographer, but also an entrepreneur, health advocate, and a devoted husband and father. We talk about his background and how he got into photography and where he gets his inspiration from. We discuss his photography style and approach to collaboration and teamwork. He shares his tips for keeping your audience engaged, and he does a really good job with that, so you definitely want to listen. We also discuss wellness, which is a key component of being a business owner, and how that plays a key role as a business owner, husband, and dad. I loved every minute of our chat, and I know you will too. So let's welcome Kareem Virgo. Welcome to the Akesha Kinche podcast, a podcast tailored for wedding and event professionals eager to elevate their businesses. I'm Akesha Kinche, your host and guide on this transformative journey. As a multi-hyphenate with a diverse collage of roles, including luxury wedding planner, event designer, international speaker, author, and seasoned business coach, I have meticulously crafted a career intertwining threads of passion, resilience, and an unwavering pursuit of vision. Each week, join me as we navigate through the vibrant landscape of creative business, unlocking secrets to branding that resonates, marketing that engages, and strategies designed for unparalleled growth. Expect insights, practical tips, and conversations with industry leaders, all designed to help you build and scale an event business that thrives and resonates with your clients. Are you ready to transform your passion into a paycheck and connect with clients who see and appreciate your value? Then you are in the right place. I am thrilled to share this journey with you. Subscribe, leave a 5-star rating, and let's dive into success, inspiration, and empowerment together. Now let the show begin. Hi, everyone. So I have Kareem in the house. Well, first of all, it's been a minute. We've been trying to get you on the podcast. It's not your fault, not my fault. We just got really busy with weddings and life and all the things, but I am super, super excited to have you on the podcast. Thank you for joining us today.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much. I'm just excited to be here, honestly. You know, good things take time, you know. So
it's only been like 2 years, but we're here.
You know, it takes time, you know. So I'm just excited to be here. You know, I love
I'm excited to have you. Obviously, you know, I'm a big fan. Way before we started working together, I was like, oh, we're gonna do something. And when the opportunity came, it was like, let's do this. And you're amazing, but we'll get into that. But yeah. First, I just wanted to welcome you to the Akesha Kinche podcast. This is my happy place. It's where I get to talk to our audience and just share insights and, of course, amazing guests like you. So I'm sure they're happy to take a break from listening to me talk every week and actually have a guest on the podcast. So super excited to have you. So for those that don't know you, which I doubt, right, for any maybe one out of the thousands that don't know who Kareem is or Reem Photography, tell us a little bit about your journey into the world of photography.
Hey guys, Kareem here. Well, a lot of people know me as Reem now. I am a luxury wedding photographer based in Florida. I started back in 2015 when a friend of mine who was having a photo shoot. He was a photographer at the time. And he said, hey man, I have an extra camera. Can you just come and help out, you know, if you're not doing nothing? I was like, yeah, sure, why not? You know, whatever. I ain't got nothing to do. My homework's done. And I just fell in love with it. You know, I didn't know what I was doing with the camera. He gave me one little camera, one little lens. And he just said, just play around. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah, I just fell in love with it. So I asked him, I was like, hey man, you know, do you have a link to this camera? Can I, you know, where can I get it? Bought it off of Amazon, amateur camera, $200. And I just started shooting everything. Just started going in my backyard, shooting bushes, shooting myself in the mirror, taking my wife to the beach, who was my girlfriend.
Wow.
Just practicing on her. I still got those pictures, by the way. I got to show you those. I had no interest in being a photographer. You know, that was not something as a kid or whatever. Like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Oh, I want to be a photographer. Never. I was set on becoming an accountant. You know, I was going to get my CPA license, run an accounting firm, and just take off handling people's finances, because my family doesn't have like the best history of financial management. So I wanted to be that difference.
Wow.
But God saw otherwise. And I attended my first wedding in 2015 as well. So I've never ever been to a wedding. Like, I've never actually attended a wedding as a guest. My wife's friend was getting married and I went with her, and like, I was just asking her so many questions. I was like, so this is what a wedding is like? So what's after the ceremony? You know, like, what's that? She's like, babe, next is the reception, is where they dance and all that good stuff. I never been to a wedding. She's been a bridesmaid.
Oh my gosh.
She's been a bridesmaid like 500 times. So she knows the ins and outs of weddings.
She's like, I got this. Let me walk you through how this works.
Right, right. She's been a bridesmaid, a flower girl. And I just remember paying attention to the photographers who were shooting it. You know, they were strapped up. They had the camera. They just look cool. I was like, oh, they just look cool. Like, this looks
cool.
So I started looking into how can I get my first gig as a wedding photographer. And I went on this thing called Thumbtack. You ever heard of that?
Is it still? I feel like it's an old school thing. Kind of like floppy discs.
Yeah. Floppy discs and all that good stuff. So I landed someone there. I think I charged them like $400 to shoot their wedding. And I fell in love with it. You know, I just loved it. You know, I didn't know what I was doing, but I thought it was great. So the second go around, I booked my second client. I asked a friend of mine who is a photographer, hey man, you know, I booked this client, but do you mind taking lead on it? Cause I just want to see the process and how you handle things. Yeah. So I let him manage the consultation. I let him shoot the bride while I shoot the groom. And I just let him take over, even though it was a client that I booked. And that really helped me a lot. So ever since then, I've just been kind of keeping our heads down and really going at it. You know, I quit my accounting job in 2018.
Okay.
That was midway through planning my own wedding. So 6 months away from my wedding day, I decided to quit my day job because...
I feel like I'm done. And your wedding was in 2018 or 19?
2018. Yeah.
2018. Okay.
The wedding was in October. I quit my job in April because I just couldn't go back. I was done. I worked in corporate accounting. Yeah. So I got my degree in accounting. I worked in accounting for a while and I just didn't love it. I just didn't. I thought I knew what I wanted to do in life. I thought that this was what was going to be my dream job or whatever, but I couldn't take it. I actually fell asleep at a meeting one time, like an employee meeting, and they had to take me to the side and see if everything's okay. And I was like, man, you know, honestly, I was just straight up bored. I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't know what was going on. So I was like, you know what? This isn't for me. The time I'm spending working this 9-to-5, I could be dedicating that to my photography business. So I talked to my wife about it. It was definitely scary. You know, people say have like 6 months saved up and have this amount of money saved up before you quit your job. I was like, look, I only got a couple $1,000. I'll make it work. And
wow. Truth
be told, we made it work. You know, as soon as I quit, I just started hitting up different couples, asking them, hey, do you want to do a photo shoot as a couple? If you're whether you're engaged or just boyfriend and girlfriend, I just need to build some portfolio just to show people that I shoot love. And that really helped us out a lot. And that's the part that people don't see much of. You know, they see they see the success now and things like that, but they don't see the grind it took, how many free shoots I did, how much money lost just to, you know, sometimes I would travel to these people out of our own pocket just to get them in my portfolio. And ever since we've just been kind of going at it and capturing love ever since.
And you haven't looked back. I love the emphasis on love. You've said that twice already, but I was going to go back. Like, if you're sometimes your passion finds you, and it sounds like
just when you're comfortable in accounting and you're like, I guess this is what I'm supposed to be doing, it finds you and it finds you again. Like you had all the signs. And if you ever needed a sign, if you fall asleep at your job, mm-hmm. that's like, maybe you need to do something else because obviously it's not interesting enough. So as right. a kid, did you ever consider yourself as a creative? I'm curious.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay.
I used to draw a lot. I used to do a lot of sketching and things like that. I was always interested in art. I actually wanted to be a what do you call those people who make like animations for like Disney and stuff like that? Like a like an animator or something like that?
Yeah, an animator. So what I was going to say. It's like a lot of times we go into adulthood and we have an idea of what we want to be based on family. Like for me, it was their psychology based on family history, whatnot. But then if you trace it back, for most creatives, it started off as a kid. Like you probably got in trouble for something, or you were doing what you were not supposed to be doing. Or I wonder if you ever photographed anything or looked at things differently with the lens that you look at things now. But anyway, it finds you sooner or later. And a lot of times it's like, it's up to you to say, you know what, this is it. Or I'm going to keep staying in this job I hate.
Right.
Or I'm bored at.
That's a good point. I say that all the time. Like, you're going to be given the signs. It's mm-hmm. just up to you to listen and actually go with it, because it doesn't sound safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your 9-to-5 is stable. You got your benefits and your insurance and retirement plan and all that good stuff. So to step out and do something on your own, it's scary. You know, how am I going to make money? How am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to feed myself? It takes a certain level of faith to work towards something, even if you don't know the outcome.
So it's crazy you say that. I always say, like, I'm in a business of faith. Like, we work by faith. Literally, we have no idea where your next client is coming from. Mm-hmm. Every year. And then sometimes you go into panic mode when you're wrapping up for the year and you're like, oh my God, I have to refill my bank for next year. And then it's truly just faith that you are doing the right thing, faith that you're showing up, faith that the right person would come in, faith that there's enough for everybody. But I love that you said that. And I truly believe that. And it's crazy how you look back and all these years later, you're still getting clients. And it's truly by just doing the work, showing up, and of course, having faith.
Right.
But I'm like, in the business of faith, 100%.
Hey, even when I'm on the plane, like to this day, I'm just like, wow, we're really doing this. Like, this is for real. I can't believe
it's happening.
Doing this. So it's crazy. I think about it all the time.
Yeah, faith. But of course, there's a big portion that sometimes we don't acknowledge is like, we're doing the work.
Yeah.
We're doing the work and the work is coming back to us. Right. So you have faith. You have all the things you need to have spiritually, but the truth is, in person, you have to do the work, you have to show up, you have to operate from a place of excellence. And that's what I've watched you do over the years. And I'm like, I'm always bugging you anyway.
Yep.
Whether you like it or not.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And you hit a good point. Faith without work is dead. You know? Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, I'm stealing that.
Yeah.
You
can't just believe you can do something. You actually go out and do it.
You have to do it. You have to do it scared. You have to do it. I mean, like you were saying, it's terrifying. There's no insurance. There's so many things. You're just out there in the world. And you're like, a lot of times you're like, what in the world did I just get myself into?
Yeah.
Like, what is this?
I appreciate you bugging me sometimes too. You're like, man, Kareem, you know, I think your pricing could be this, you know, or, you know, you really should be doing this. And I'm like, I really appreciate that. Like,
Of course.
That's the type of honesty I appreciate, as opposed to just like, oh, you're doing great.
Yeah.
I like when people come for me. It helps me grow. It helps each other grow, as opposed to just like, oh, you're doing great. Keep doing what you're doing. You know?
Yeah. I'm like, we need to cut down on your weddings. We need to charge you. We need to up your pricing today.
Right. I was like,
and I appreciate you accepting that.
Yeah. I was like, oh, she's coming for me today. I love it. Okay. Right. Cat Williams said something interesting. He said one of the worst advice he'd ever gotten was don't ever change.
Ooh, isn't that the worst thing? Like, that's the worst. Truly, that sounds like bad advice.
Right.
I want to take a moment and share that my new design book, Festive Tables, a guide to setting stylish tablescapes for your celebrations, is here. Festive Tables is your guide to elevating your hosting game.
This is where you get to learn the ins and outs of building a beautiful, layered, and celebratory experience with festive tables that make a lasting impression on your guests. Inside the book, you get to explore a wide range of exclusive table design ideas with beautifully photographed table details, festive cocktails, and recipes to help you elevate your celebrations throughout the year. Whether you're hosting a celebration for a large group or an intimate dinner party, this book will help you style and design glamorous and elegant tablescapes. By the end of this book, you know how to bring elegance to every gathering. This book is for you and the perfect gift for anyone who loves a good celebration. So grab your signed copy at festivetables.com. Additionally, if you order a signed copy from festivetables.com, you receive a bonus treat from me in your inbox. You get access to your dinner party checklist with tips for hosting a fabulous dinner party. You can only get this bonus resource if you order the book on festivetables.com. I cannot wait for you to flip through the pages. Now, back to today's show.
I mean, there's a moment where you're like, oh, I'm doing this. Mm-hmm. And then where you actually believe that this is a career, like this is your job. Do you remember?
Yeah. I would probably say sometime in probably about 2 years in my career. So probably around 2017.
Okay.
When I officially made my company like an LLC and things like that, I was still working at my corporate job, but
yeah.
I had the website ready to go, like the portfolio lined up, like everything was looking good. I didn't really launch the website yet, but like it was all coming together. And like I would be at work still working on photography stuff. Like I'd be on break editing or talking to clients or something like that. Sometimes I'll have something on the screen and my boss comes around and he's like, everything good? I have to switch tabs real quick or something like that. I think around that time, I knew deep down that I'm a photographer. Like, this is what I want.
Like, I
wake up and think about this. Like, you have to be a little bit obsessed with your...
very much obsessed.
Yeah, always thinking of ways to improve the business. I think at that point I realized I'm a photographer. Like, this is what I want to do. I don't know where I'm going to get to, but I know this is what I want to do. And that was the reassurance I needed to quit my corporate job and go full time. So
when you're like owned it, like this is my job. Because I think the problem with creatives is because people kind of look at some creative jobs as not a real career, right? Like, of course, people joke, like, tell your African mom, like, I'm a wedding planner. Like, a wedding planner? What do you mean? Like, you need to be a doctor or whatever. So, like us accepting our creative jobs, whatever we choose as a real career, there's always that moment. It could be an event or something happened. And for you, it's just, like, getting all your legal documents in a row and saying, I'm officially official.
Yeah, you had a good point. In a Caribbean household, like, these old school parents, like, if you're not a doctor, lawyer...
Yeah.
How, like, what do you do?
This is so like, what do you do? How are you going to make money?
I'm like, this is how I make money. People pay me.
And then they're like, well, we'll be praying for you. I'll take it to church and we'll pray that you get clients.
Right. So it's funny you brought that up because they still get it now.
Yeah.
But it's kind of funny because it's like I don't think they like 100% get it that this is my company. Like, I don't work for someone.
Right. And it's a norm. It's just culturally. And then, of course, it's parents, their jobs to just worry, you know. Yeah. So if you ever called and say, I got a gig, you hear like a dance, like, oh, my God, we thank my mom will pray from morning to night. Like, oh, thank you, God. And keep more. So it's like they have a fear, but eventually they accept and they see how you progress and they see, you know, features and things you're doing. Like, okay, he's doing really good and they feel better. Right. But I think it's just it's from a place of love and worry. I know.
Right, right.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about your photography style. We're in a saturated, everything is saturated from photography to wedding planning in every sector, really. How would you describe your photography style and your approach? I know the answer.
I feel like you kind of know too.
But our listeners don't.
Yeah. I think we take it a little bit further than just, you know, I just need pictures for my wedding. You know, I always tell people all the time, if you just need photos for your wedding, you just want pictures, then we might not be the best fit for you, because we like to go a little bit further. You know, we want people to really feel like when they see your pictures that they almost know you in a way.
Yeah.
You know, like, wow, like this couple looks like they're really in love. Like this wedding looks amazing. It's not just like hold hands, look at the camera and smile. You know, we try to bring something out of you that you may not even feel like you had when we try to pose you and direct you and things like that. So like I always say, it's almost like watching your favorite romance movie, and then you just hit pause at the best parts. So like, ooh, pause it right there, and like, ooh,
ooh, wow. Love that.
Yeah. So, our company acronym is REEM. So REEM is actually an acronym. It stands for Reliving Each and Every Moment, which my wife came up with. Shout out to the wife.
I saw that on the website. I was like, oh, that's smart.
Yep. So that's what we really want clients to feel like when they look back, like they're really reliving it. So it's one thing to be good at capturing the decor and capturing all these elements and, you know, the dress and all that good stuff. But how do I create something that you go back and you feel like you can just like reach back in almost again, or like relive those emotions and things like that. So I think that's what kind of has separated our work. It's not, we're not just wedding photographers. We capture everything in and out and all the emotions that come with it. So And as far as our style, I would like to consider it kind of cinematic.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of a vintage mix in there, you know.
Yeah, I get that. I see it.
Yeah. So I want you to feel captivated when you look at our work. So
yeah.
But what keeps us going?
I love it. And I see also within that what you've chosen, the style, I also see that evolving. I see that getting better. I see you being broader with it. Without losing that element of storytelling. I think for a lot of people, we're in the business of storytelling. It doesn't matter what you do as a planner, designer, photographer. And for you to be able to tell a story through your photography is key, right? Because you said you want to go back 10 years and relive that moment. And at whatever picture it is, you can remember what was happening, or it takes you back to such a fun place. I think that's an art. And I think that knowing that and honing into that is a scary thing, but you do it anyway.
Right.
So you can stand out. And I see that in your work. So, and of course everybody does, but I wanted us to talk about that. Okay. Now with that said, I talk a lot about, so I have for me, business is a healthy balance of business and wellness. And wellness is a thing in our industry that we don't pay attention to. You, on the other hand, have done a really good job with wellness and lifestyle and trying to balance. And I say trying to, because we're never successful at it. We're always trying. We fail every other day, but we try it again. So when I talk about imposter syndrome and self-doubt a lot, because we're in a world of comparison. We're in a world of sometimes something will make you doubt yourself. Mm-hmm. When you get into a place of imposter syndrome or self-doubt, what do you do? How do you deal with it?
Yeah. I think we all go through it. And it doesn't matter how far you reach. Like, you could have done Beyonce's wedding. And
right.
At some point, it still kind of hits you like, man, do I deserve this? I'm not good enough for this. Somebody else is doing this better than me or whatever. I always just remind myself that, one, where I started. So I'm always looking back at my old stuff, like, or even just my old pictures of me, you know, where I lived, my old work that I started off at. I try to remind myself of that, or just go back and look at it, just to tell myself, yo, look where you are now.
Did you fix it?
You know, that's one of the things that I like to do, and just constantly reminding myself that, like, you know, all of this can go in an instant. You know, there's someone who wishes to be in your place. Sometimes your worst days is somebody's best day. They're planning about this, but that person wished they could have that. You know what I'm saying? So I try to remind myself that, because I have my days. Like, sometimes I'm like, man, you know what? I don't feel like shooting today, or like I don't feel like doing this edit or something like that. And I'm just like, wait a minute. You're being ungrateful, you know. People who wish they can have a calendar that looks like yours. You know what I'm saying? I don't mean that to brag. I just mean that, like, it you have to really remind yourself of, look how far you've come. Because I remember there was a time where we were struggling to shoot. You know, we
man,
I almost considered getting a part-time job again. Like, I was like, okay, maybe this is not going to work out, you know. Looking back at that, reminding myself of that, it's what keeps me going. Plus, I'm a very simple person. Like, the smallest things motivate me. Like, I'll see someone open like a photography studio, or like you come in with the magazine, and I'm just like, oh, I'm inspired again. All right, back to work. Like, it doesn't take much to remind me of like, all right, Kareem, get your butt up and you got more to do, you know.
So yeah.
I think imposter syndrome hits everyone.
Mm-hmm.
If people don't have self-doubt, they're lying. I know it hits.
True. At times. I agree, because it happens, and it's constant. It's gonna, if it happened and you got over it, you have to get over it again. And there are different factors, but I love what you said. So there's so much power in what you said. Several things. You said, go back to where you started. Mm-hmm. And I think we get caught up in the next thing and the next thing, but you going back to where you started and telling yourself, look how far you've come. Mm-hmm. Like, go back to the beginning. And I think that's to me, one of the best remedies, I would say, for imposter syndrome. Like, you think like, this is not good. Let's go back and like, so you can appreciate the journey all over again. And right. I'm guilty. A lot of people are guilty of the same thing, where I'm just like, next. And I'm like, go back to like January of 2023 and see how much you've done. And we don't get to do that a lot. And yeah. I love that you're also inspired by other things, other creatives, what they're doing. Like you said, the magazine, which as of the time of this recording, the holiday issue is coming out. So I can't wait. And you're featured in it. I just love your approach and the responses. I was like, this is amazing. So I'm glad we get to share you on all the different platforms. And there was something else you said about gratitude, right? I know Oprah talks about this a lot, which like, you have to be grateful for where you are before you can get more. And I think just reminding yourself from a place of gratitude, like whatever you're complaining about, somebody else wants it, is powerful. Mm. So wise. Thank you for sharing that. That is amazing. Okay. So I have a question I ask all my friends.
Mm-hmm.
What do you, I know it's a simple question, but you probably have to think about it. What do you want to be known for? Like when people think about you?
You know, of course people will know you mostly for like what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I think when it's all said and done, I would want to be known more so for what I am. So what I do. Yes, you know, oh, you're that bald dude, you're the photographer. but I think I just want to be, it sounds cliche, but I just want to be a testament of just hard work and just faith, you know, because if anybody knows us, you know, we're super simple people. Like, we just come home, watch Netflix together, hang out in the backyard, walk around the neighborhood, simple stuff. You know, that's crazy, because with our schedules being so hectic at times, we enjoy the simple things, because a lot of our weeks involves doing so much work, clients. So we actually appreciate just the simple things in life. But I would want to be remembered as just someone that was just such a inspiration of just hard work and just, you can do it, you know, you can at times, but like, I want to be a representation of you can do it. And a lot of people who look like me aren't as prominent on like, you know, like your YouTubes and your platforms. I think a lot of times we use our work to speak for us. But I think God has blessed me with the ability to have both sides, meaning the photography side, the work, and also I have a voice, you know.
The personal brand. Yeah,
I feel like I have an ability to voice, walk the walk and talk the talk is what they like.
Yeah, so, agree.
I don't know if that made sense, but
it makes total sense. So much wisdom there. You were saying a lot, and it's funny because it's saying it's natural to you, but I hear you, and I'm just like, wow, so wise.
And that's me stepping out of my comfort zone, you know, because if it was a lot of times, I'll just edit, drop photos, and call it a day. Hey, look at my pretty work.
Yeah,
but I think God has a bigger calling for me, and that involves me stepping out of my comfort zone. That involves speaking, teaching, educating, helping others who may be struggling with this, because what may be like super simple to you, someone finds super complicated.
Yes. And
that's where I can come in and help someone else. So Yeah, I just want to be an inspiration, you know. At the end of the day, I just want people to feel motivated by what I do. That's really all what it's all about, really. You know, you can have all the tools and the training and all that good stuff, but if you don't have the mindset and you're not inspired all the time, you can have all the talent in the world. Nobody's going to see it, you know? So I think it's good to have both.
That's powerful. That's powerful. Maybe you should have a podcast. I'm just saying.
One day.
Add more to your list because there's a lot there. And like you said, just inspiring people to that you can do it. Like, it's possible. I think it might look like a small thing, but there are a lot of people watching that feel like, no, it's already being done. Someone else is already doing it. Or, you know, how much room, let's be honest, how much room is there for a Black photographer? How much room is there for a Black, whatever it is, right? And I think that angle, while you do your work with excellence, but also inspiring other people, is powerful. Yeah. And stepping outside of just your work. And one of the questions I was going to ask you is how you do a great job at engaging your audience in a way that's not only photography. When I look at Reem, like the company or you, I don't look at it as I'm going to a photographer's page. Like, you bring us into all aspects of your world. Your little boy, he's so cute. And he just turned one.
Yep.
So cute. I love when he's always like packing your gear. And so I'm like,
yeah.
Photographer in the making, who knows, right? Yep. But yeah, there is a story there, and I love that angle. That's why I asked you. Like, and sometimes we don't know the answer. It's something like when I ask people, they're like, I need to think about that, right? Everyone has their goal in life and their gifts, and you have multiple. And I love that you're using every one of them to inspire the best way you can. So keep up the good work.
That's it.
Yes, I love it. Yep. Okay, so let's talk about the wedding that we did, because that was one of my favorite weddings, hands down. I love all my clients, so I don't want to get in trouble. However, this was epic. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because it happened. We did last year. I've lost track of time, but it started with the engagement. And then last year was Tobias Harris and Jasmine's wedding. But I remember, it's funny because, you know, I believe in faith and I believe that things happen as they should happen. Because remember, originally I just called you out of the blue and I was like, oh, what are you doing Saturday?
Yeah, it was like, hey, can you come to San Diego next week? I was like,
you come to San Diego? I think I called you on a Thursday. No joke. Because something happened and the initial photographer couldn't do it because of something important. And I was like, hey, and I just texted you. I'm like, hey, can you chat? And I'm like, what are you doing on Saturday? Do you want to fly to San Diego? And you're like, sure. And we literally showed up and rocked it out, and we had the best time. And I was like, that was our first time working together, and we had met maybe at a Munaluchi conference, right? But briefly, but we never really chatted.
Yeah.
And it's funny because we met in a work, like we went right into production. I was like, okay, cool. So I'm first time, I'm always like watching, and I'm like, let's see how this goes. And I'm like, making sure the synergy is there, and it was easy peasy. Pictures are amazing. It was all over the internet. And then of course the wedding was fire, and you killed every moment. Like, I look at the pictures, it takes me back. Cause even as a producer, I'm in it. So I, some things just, and I, you know, it's a bad thing, but we take a lot for granted because we're doing it. Right. We're like, oh, center, the design is done and we're moving to the tent. And I'm like, go back and actually look at the beauty that we're creating. Like, we, you know, I'll speak for myself. Sometimes I don't appreciate the art enough because I'm in it. But when I go back and I look at the images, even now, I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, I was here. We did this.
Yep.
Right. So it helps me. It takes me back. Just like you were saying with the storytelling with clients. It's not only for clients. You're doing it for us, too. Because the images were amazing. Everybody was, people, right? It was everywhere. But I took from that on the creative side was just the power of collaboration and the power of synergy and working with the right people. And I would say, like, we can do all the design we want and plan it. In the end, it's the people we bring in that make us shine and bring it all to life for us right after the event. So, but you were amazing. Your team was fantastic. I'm still obsessed with all the images. I was trying to post something today that I was so overwhelmed by, like, which one do I post? And I was like, just forget it.
Yeah.
I was like, I'll do it after.
That's one of those you can post forever. Like,
yeah, but I want to talk about the experience. How was it for you on the other end? And I know there's with a wedding like that, there's a pressure to capture everything and not miss a thing. But how was the experience for you?
You know, it was at first I thought I would be a little nervous.
Yeah.
You know, obviously he's an athlete, high profile athlete. You know, there's a certain level of pressure you might feel. But then at the end of the day, I'm like, he's a human. You know, he's just like what I've always been doing. You know, there's nothing different. He's a human being. But I had the team ready. You know, I think it was I think I had four photographers that day.
It was a lot. It was a lot of gear.
Yeah, it was me and three other guys. So that really helped a lot. You know, having a photographer cover him, another photographer capture the guests, another photographer the core. It all just, it felt like I had a team, and it was it was just beautiful. And then all the vendors just working together, your team, everyone was just like, it just felt like everyone was in sync. The vibes were good.
There were always good vibes.
Nobody had any attitudes.
No.
There were so many different aspects of that wedding that I loved. There were so many different features and performances and just everything. It was amazing. But I approached it just like I did every other wedding. Like, Cream, this is what you do. You know, there's no reason to feel nervous or pressured or anything. And once I reminded myself of that, oh, it was game time. Plus, I'm a huge NBA fan. I love basketball.
Right, I remember. Yeah. You're like, I'm a fan. So I'm like, okay, perfect.
Yeah. So this is like literally what I want to do. So it was just amazing. It was beautiful. To this day, I still tell people, you know, it was one of my favorite weddings I ever shot. You know,
hands down. Yeah, and you gotta love them. Like, I mean,
yeah,
favorite humans. Love them.
And
I mean, it's one of those things too in our work when your art is appreciated by a client.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, you show up, I mean, you there's no room for failure. Like I tell people, when you treat people with kindness and respect, they would do anything for you. Beyond, they're like, what contracts? Well, like, we're just here to make sure this is the best day ever. And it was like that from the beginning with them, with me. And I had complete, total creative freedom. And of course, this is about the client. It's their story we're telling. But when your clients trust you, just like they, you know, especially they appreciated your work and art from the beginning. So it was a no-brainer after the engagement. We're like, all right, let's do this wedding thing, right? Once I was officially hired. Yeah. But the synergy is important in collaboration. I would say, of course, the respect for one another, knowing that each person's role is just as important as the next. And like you said, like it's funny when you say that, you're like, there's no drama. I don't have drama in my events. So it's just, to me, it's just feels very family oriented. And we're like, what do you need? And I'll come and bug you for a minute. Like, what's up? And I'm like, you're thirsty. You're good. You eat. And I'm like, I'm out again. And that's how we want to work. It's collaboration, understanding that we're here for one reason only, and it's to make this celebration the best there ever is. And then we're here to support you.
And I don't believe in, like, obviously there's no, like, nothing's perfect, but like, I can almost guarantee you that my best weddings are the ones where the vibes are just unmatched. You said, they value your work. So there's not a lot of like back and forth, you know, they trust you to do your job. If I hired you as a planner, I trust that you're going to plan and design this thing, and I don't have to worry about anything micromanaging or nothing.
Yeah.
Same way with the photos during the engagement shoot, everything. I can literally just take them around and just like do what I want basically. And they just trusted it.
I mean, it was beautiful. I was just like, every time I'm like, oh my God. And when you sent sneak peeks, I was like, oh my goodness. And then the next day, people was like, they needed images, and you were on a plane, I think, editing you were traveling like on that Sunday morning. We're all dead.
Yeah, I think I had a wedding the next day.
Yeah, you were flying out. I was like, they need it now. And we got all the images. But I mean, I can relive those beautiful moments. I enjoyed every second of planning. It was literally one of my best experiences, and I love them to pieces. But the collaboration was beautiful. It was the energy. Everyone was there to help each other. Mm-hmm. I think from the series, like, I would see you and like we're making faces, and I'm like,
yeah,
it was just
5 minutes. You're like, hey,
You know, yeah. it was beautiful. So with that said, I want to ask you, if for planners listening or collaborators listening, what would you want to tell people? Like, what would be something that you see that maybe affects good collaboration? Like, what do you want people to know about how to work best with photographers?
Leave the egos out the door. It's not about you, it's about the client. And I'm really big on that. You know, I like to joke around a lot and I'm like a goofball, but yeah. I take weddings very seriously. Like, I'll fight somebody over our client. because I think a lot of times we tend to let our ego get in the way of what's the main purpose here, and that's the client.
Yes.
I get it. You know, you want your content, you know, you want to be that person that say, hey, I did this couple and all that good stuff. But don't forget that you're working with a team of people. That means time. That means working with that person, not feeling like you have to take control of everything. And I say ego because I think a lot of times it's our egos that get in the way of, it clouds our judgment.
100%, yeah.
Like, you know, I'm so-and-so, I'm big time.
You become too big for your collaborators. Yeah.
You gotta listen to me. I've been doing this. Well, we've all been doing this. Or even if I was, why don't you help me out? Wouldn't it be a little bit better if we work together and be on the same page? And that's what I love so much about Tobias and Jasmine's wedding, is that a lot of those vendors I never worked with. Mm. That was my first time working with them.
And but we all rocked it out. Everyone had an amazing time. We all had a blast. I'm not kidding. Like, I had the best time.
That was fun. I think I stayed till like 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, the after party.
Yeah, I mean, we're the last ones to leave. So I didn't get to my room to maybe 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. just making sure after production, I was dead by Sunday. Yeah. And when they were on the phone, they're like, what's wrong with your voice? I'm like, I don't have it. It's gone. Yeah. But amazing wedding. Like, I didn't feel tired. I know my body was tired, but mentally, creatively, I was like, oh, that was a good one. And I was just like, so thrilled that everything worked out. Okay. So the tip is just to leave your ego, which I agree, at the door.
Yes.
Be a team player.
Yes.
And, you know, to me too, a collaboration successful event is a combination of multiple talents. Mm-hmm. And everyone has their own art and angle. And when you allow people to do what they do, like, I, you know, of course, you're not going to tell me how to design. I won't tell you how to shoot it either, because you bring in your own talent. And I think that's key too. I stay away from ego. If I sense it, I just move. I'm very picky with the people that I bring in. One, they have to be a good fit for the client's event, because that's important. And also, we all have to be able to work together. So if there's ego involved, I will be out the door fast. Yeah. Okay. So let's shift gears to we can talk all day, by the way, your social media, right? Mm-hmm. So you're almost 250,000 followers. And it reflects your work, but also what you said about your personal brand and how you want people to see you. So how do you keep your audience engaged? I think I've asked you this question in a DM, like, walk me through how you engage people, because you do a good job at it.
Yeah. You know, we don't have like a marketing plan, or like a social media manager or what have you. I just like, it's one thing to have the great work, you know, to have the pretty pictures. And a lot of times, you know, you can let that speak for yourself. That's fine. But I wanted to take it a bit of a step further. You know, I wanted to kind of let people in a little bit on who we are behind them. You know, I don't want you to just look like you're on this page and it just looks like a store.
Yeah.
Hey, let me shoot your wedding. We got you. I want you to kind of feel connected. You know, I want you to feel like you relate to us, because, you know, things aren't perfect all the time. You know, we go through things. And I kind of wanted to showcase that and let a little bit, because you can let people in your life and you don't got to give them your whole life. You know, I'm not out here telling you that my wife and I just got in an argument or something like that. You know, like,
right.
I'm giving you my whole personal
life. Not telling all your business.
right. But I'm giving you something that I feel like you can relate to. And I think a lot of times when you can relate with whatever vendor you're hiring, it makes for a better experience.
Yeah.
Makes you more comfortable working with me, which makes you more comfortable taking pictures with me. You know,
yeah, it's so, just going deeper with your audience.
Yeah,
just, like I love that you do your coffee in the morning. I know you do your smoothies. That's how much I see. I know you run and you share like your morning run. So these are things. So I know you beyond. I mean, I know you, but I also, if I didn't know you, I would still know there's a human side. I would say if anything, what I'm hearing is humanizing the brand, where it's not all about pictures and taking, bringing them into your world, whatever that level of comfort is, right? Bringing them into your world a little bit so they get to know you on a deeper level.
Right.
You do a really good job at it.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. There's certain things that I want people to like see that are kind of a staple, like our running. You know, you won't see me post my runs because I kind of want you to see it. You know, we don't just get up and edit photos. You know, we believe in a healthy lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And that plays a big role in how we've gotten to where we are, you know. What you put inside your body, what you eat is what, you know, a lot of people don't think about these things, but these are things that keep you energized, that help you with anxiety, your judgment, things like that. Food and your health regimen plays a big part of that. A lot of people don't like to think that, but it's a big part of it. You might have felt sad that day, you got a headache. What did you eat last night? You know what I mean? So to be aware of your health is a big part of whatever you're doing, whatever industry and whatever business. That's just your life. You know, you got to take care of yourself first before you can go out and try to take care of other people. But yeah, just trying different things on social media. We kind of like, you know, sometimes we'll be goofy and then sometimes we'll be super serious and motivational.
I love it all. I mean, it's relatable, you know, it's relatable. Yep. And I just love seeing that little cutie, like just every time you're packing. He's like, I feel like we need to get him like a mini camera. So did you post something like that with a mini camera or?
I did something with him like playing with my camera.
Yeah, I thought that was so cute.
Yeah. So that's another way to connect with your clients. You know, like the fact that I'm with my family and some, you know, just date night with my wife, things like that. Like you said, humanizing the business. Yeah. So I think that really helped our brand a lot. And it helped a lot of people connect with us. So like a lot of times I'll show up to the wedding and they'll be like, you know, how's your wife? How's your son? You know, that video you did last week was so funny, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Creates conversation as opposed to just, that's my photographer. He's here to do my pictures.
I love it. Taking notes. I'm like, I know personally I need to do it more. Sometimes I'm like, I'll do it tomorrow. I'm like, I'm lazy. And I'm like, oh, my hair is not together today.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, I don't have makeup today. I don't know if I want to post.
Right.
But that's true. But I'm like, sometimes like just get over yourself and bring people in. I do it, but I know I just sometimes do it safely. We can engage more. I could go deeper. So I'm like noting,
go
a bit deeper. It's a challenge, but I'm working on it. Okay. So now what's that?
You're doing a great job.
Thank you. We don't give ourselves. Thank you. I received that. Also with a mindset of like, now we can polish on that a little bit more, right? And go deeper. Mm-hmm. Okay. But thank you. So beyond the lens, beyond photography, what are you dabbling into? I know you're always working on something.
Yeah. Well, my wife recently became a realtor. So she's really been honing in on that. So I've been kind of like her personal like content video recorder person. So that's been kind
of course. What else did you think you were gonna do?
Right. just kind of helping her with that. That's been really fun. She also owns a cleaning service. She owns a commercial cleaning service. So I also help her out with that. Outside of photography, what else we have going on? I've also been kind of working on my personal brand as well.
Mm-hmm.
So as opposed to Reem, my actual personal brand, you know, just kind of marketing myself.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's been kind of fun, you know, getting some personal shoots lined up for myself to kind of
nice.
You know, like a little, you know, show the guy behind the lens a little bit more. But apart from that, that's really been about it. We have our associate team as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's been great. We have a completely separate photography company who were clients where either I'm unavailable or we just don't quite fit their budget or what have you. We'll send out associate team to cover the wedding, but it still matches our style. You just don't get me there.
They but get Reem with, well, they get Reem get photography. Well, yeah, yeah, you get the, yeah, I you love get the it.
Effect. Yep, yep. So that's been great. And just kind of just dibbling and dabbling in other little things. Our YouTube channel has been growing pretty well. We just hit 11,000 subscribers.
Nice.
So that's been great. I have three videos coming up on YouTube where people see kind of like a behind the scenes of how I work weddings. So those are in the editing process right now. That's been fun. And this continuously making content that's a bit more personal. So mm-hmm. me speaking, me teaching, me dropping little nuggets here and there, all that good stuff has been kind of the new venture that we've been
Yeah. But all inspired by your brand message that you said earlier, right? Just inspiring people to, like, whether it's the how-to or your personal story. So the whole goal is to inspire whoever, not just photographers, right? More like business owners and humans. Right. And then we're going to do a lot more. Are you going to do some recipes of these smoothies? I think I took a screenshot of one of them. Yeah, and I tried one.
For sure. Did I make you one before? I don't think I did.
You just shared it in the story. And I tried it. And I tried it. I think it was during the pandemic, I tried one of them. It was good.
Yeah, that's another passion of mine. Like I love juicing. I love smoothies. So that's so much work.
I was like, my juicer is dry because I'm like, you're getting packed up because I don't have time for this. But the end result is great.
You need a really good juicer or it's going to be frustrating.
Yeah, no, I have a good juice, but it's still messy and I have to clean it up. But I'm just lazy when it comes to juicing. So, but I get it. I get the benefits, but I would love to see that process on YouTube for sure. Okay. Some of your favorite recipes. I think that would be a good one. Okay. So now with the lifestyle, you're doing a good job with the business and the balancing because the balancing act is a struggle always. What is your morning routine like?
Let's see. So we usually get up around 6 or 7 in the morning, sometimes a little bit earlier. I like to start the day with just like, so we have this thing now where we like to start the day without our phones. So we tend to wake up and just check our phones.
How's that going?
Going pretty good. Like you don't realize how productive you can be when you just get up and just go, as opposed to like, you can get so caught up just scrolling and seeing who else got going on. I feel like it almost, you may not realize it, but it kind of raises your anxiety a little bit because you're like, oh, man.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
It throws you off. Yeah.
And you just started your day with that. Yo, the day just started. Who cares about what so-and-so got going on? Start your day. So I've been really intentional about just starting the day with just enjoying the family. Just being in the bed, talking to my wife, playing with our son for a bit. Just like to get up and start the day with some exercise. So I'll go to the gym or I'll go for a run. That's usually the best time for me because I like to run a lot of times before he gets up. Even if he does get up, I'll still go for a run. Just start the day with something active, get the blood flowing.
And then
we'll kind of map out like, okay, what's our shift today? Like we like to make a little joke, like, what's our shift today? Like, okay, I'm gonna be in the office from 9 to 6 or 9 to 3 or something like that.
Yeah, plan your day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's been really helping a lot. So I have like my office now at the house. So like this is literally my job. Like I'll go across the hall and start my work day. She'll come in and handle some tasks with me as well. Mm-hmm. Luckily her mom lives with us as well.
So oh nice.
Watch our son, and while she's watching him, we can take care of a lot of stuff.
Lucky but, you.
we kind of treat it like a corporate job. So like we'll work like 8
structure. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure. And then helps you keep track of your tasks and you don't get lost in the day and like you're like, what am I doing again?
Right. Yeah. Because I used to just pop on my laptop and just start working on stuff, but there was no communication. There was no like structure. So now I actually tell her, okay, you know, I'm going to work from 9 to 3 today. And let's go on like a lunch break at 12. Let's go for a walk for like 40 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We take a break and then go right back to it. And this is when I'm clocking off, you know, so I treat it almost like a corporate job because that's what they do in America. You know, you punch in at 9.
For sure.
That's been really great. And that's helped with our communication a lot. So, real simple exercise, start the day with some work, take a break.
A little bit to start with you. I love that you start the day with you yourself. And then you're like, now let's take care of the world.
Right.
And then how do you decompress at the end of the day or at the end of an event?
Just spend time with family. So I'll close the laptop and I'm like, look, I'm done. All right, I'm done for the day.
Like, yeah, when I slam my laptop, we already know what that is. I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done. Like, what needs to be done today is done for today. We can finish it up tomorrow.
Right.
But I used to be like, I got to get this done today. And I'll work till like 2 a.m, just working on stuff. Like, and she'll be like, you know, man, you know, you could probably do this tomorrow.
No one is going to die tonight. Yeah.
Right. Like, you'll be okay. And I have to really train myself. Mm-hmm. To, like I said, like, you know, like I said, I'm obsessed with this business. You know, when you have something that you really love, you're pretty much obsessed with it.
So I can relate 100%. Yeah. But then you realize that burnout that you're doing is not helpful. And when you allow your body to rest, you're actually much better in the morning, right? Than you struggling to do it all of night. Because people have given us the impression that owning a business means grinding to the last and staying up all night. I'm like, what trophy am I missing here? There is no trophy for killing yourself. So
go to sleep. Trophy?
Like, listen to your body, right? Because then you wake up refreshed and you can do, like, if my husband, like, better wake up earlier than push yourself through the night, because what can you do at 2 a.m. really? Like, who's up with you? Nobody, right? So you can just catch up in the morning. And I'm starting to, you know, we're stubborn too, so like we don't listen till it's like detrimental to our health. We're like, okay, this is not sustainable. But you know, people make you feel like if you don't stay up or work late like everybody else, then you're not grinding hard enough. But that's not true. We have to start working smarter. So I love that. And that's a good way to jump into the lifestyle portion. Anything else in terms of mind wellness that you feel has helped you show up better for your clients and be more creative?
I think running has been kind of my getaway. Sometimes I just zone out when I'm running, and that allows me to really decompress a lot. You know, I've been able to kind of just let go of what I have going on.
Yeah.
And when I'm running, you know, I'm alone, you know, so I can just like gather my thoughts, and it's almost like meditation for me while I'm running.
Do you meditate?
No, not as much as, you know, people say you probably should, but no, not really.
It's hard. I'm still mine is in progress because my mind is everywhere. So, but yeah. I'm like, I can do for 5 minutes.
I think running for me is kind of that meditation, because I'm not thinking about like work when I'm working out, or like when I'm up making like my juices or my smoothies. Mm-hmm. I'm not really thinking about work in that moment. I'm just thinking. Yeah, I'm just my mind is clear. Yeah, it's just
I love that. And I've
too. Like, you know, sometimes you need a little you time. You know, why don't you just go spend a day for a couple of hours and just enjoy yourself, you know, come back and decompress, you know what I'm saying?
So, yeah. Or even a walk, like just getting out, connecting with nature, it'll reignite things you didn't even know you needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we're in Chicago now. And so when it's cold, I stay in the office, but like you're in Florida, you can take a walk anytime.
Oh, yeah,
you can
walk anytime.
And enjoy the weather.
Here
we have to bundle up just to walk.
Yeah. Yeah. There's not really winter here. What's the coldest here? Like in the 50s?
Yeah,
that's the coldest.
Awful, just terrible weather. I don't know how you live with it.
yeah, it's interesting, but yeah, that's pretty much how we try to get our mind off of work, and just trying to remind ourselves that you don't have to be on the grind all the time.
Yes.
Like, okay, you might see what someone else has going on, and social media is the biggest probably. Corporate of this, because you know, you wake up and you're looking on TikTok and like, you gotta get up at 4 a.m. and get to it. Like, bro, relax.
You're like,
calm down. It's
like, no, you don't.
Like, it's not that deep, and don't let people pressure you to feeling like you gotta be this just machine, you know.
Yeah. Like, I agree. Said,
rest is so, I learned that. I used to tell my wife that you waste so much time when you're sleeping. No, you need your rest. You need
your body, your mind needs your rest. Then your body, all of it. And you know the difference. You show up better. You're a better creative. You're a better husband, a better dad, a better you. You're kinder to yourself when you rest. You're grouchy when you're tired. Like your body's literally telling you, I'm done. And we're pushing and we're forcing. And you're like, how can you create when you're not even okay? Right. So I think that's a good lesson. Like it's something that I talk a lot about on the podcast, on the blog, and in a magazine. There's a wellness section of the magazine that's important to me because we have to balance. We're human beings, right? You're entrepreneurs, but it's not the end of the world. There's got to be a healthy balance of fun. Let's bring fun back again. Rest, sleep, like literally doing nothing is totally fine. The nothingness is great.
Nothing is the best.
And when you're in work mode, you give it your all. Like I talk about, you know, I try to live in compartments. When I'm in work mode, I'm giving it my everything. But when I'm in lazy mode, I am fully lazy. People are like, when do you rest? I'm like, when I rest. And it's practice and the guilt too. I'm sure you feel it, like dealing with the guilt of like,
yeah,
I just watched 2 movies.
Yeah, I'm like, I could have been doing something. It's been 4 hours. I go through this all the time. Like, and I have to intentionally remind myself to kind of snap out of that. Like, even if I was with my family, we're going to like the park or something. I'm like, man, I just got this email though. The client has a question. I'm like, it can wait.
It can wait.
It's okay. You
True
know,
talk. It can wait. They would respect you for it too.
You have a lot.
When we respect ourselves, our clients respect us back. Right. And you overdoing and killing yourself, it's just not healthy. It's just, it's not sustainable. Not yep. sustainable at all. That's why I'm always pushing. I'm like, we got to cut down on your weddings.
Yeah, yeah.
Cut down. We're getting there.
We're getting there. I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
That grinding mentality, it looks cool. Like, oh, I'm here. Mm-hmm. I'm in Atlanta now. I'm in New York now. It looks cool. But in reality, it's what are you really doing it for? Are you doing it because this is something that you really want to do? Or do you just want to look like you're
busy?
You're busy. Nah.
Yeah. That's why I joke. I'm like, where's the trophy? Because I don't have a trophy for killing myself. I sure do. There's no reward, but just burnout. It doesn't help anybody. Yeah.
And nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
I don't care.
Like truly, you can build your own path and do whatever you want that suits your lifestyle. And that's the beauty of entrepreneurship. And we need to own that. So I'm glad that you're in that space. Like I said, you're very wise. And I'm sure everyone is listening that can relate to something that we're talking about. And it's a constant reminder because we fall back into that trap of either overworking or overcommitting. And it's a constant reminder to bring it back and balance it out so you can show up better for your clients.
Absolutely.
Okay. So like I said, we can talk forever, but I want to go into rapid fire questions.
All right.
You ready?
Hey.
Okay. Most challenging event you've ever had or shot? The one that made you almost quit.
So this is rapid fire, right? So just like
rapid fire.
Words. Most challenging event. You know, honestly, I don't think I've ever had an event that made me want to quit.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever been that bad. All right, I lied. So, like, in the beginning, I had a wedding that I can't say too much, but, like...
No, yeah, short and sweet.
I knew that this is not the type of wedding that I want to shoot. Like, this is not... This didn't even feel like a wedding to me. It was just all types of foolishness. And I even told my wife to leave that wedding. I was like, look...
Wow.
I said, nah, go home. Go home.
This is not it.
Yeah, go home. I'll ride back with my second photographer. Like this is not it. And I knew it didn't make me want to quit weddings, but it was a huge reminder of this is not what you want. You're bigger than this. You're better than this. So
we've all been there. Don't worry. Oh,
yeah. that was like a hit in the face. I was like, oh no. Never. Oh, it said never say never, but nah, never again.
We were like never. Okay. One place you're dying to shoot a wedding or event at.
Like city or
City. Place. Doesn't matter.
Africa. Somewhere in Africa. Like
anywhere in Africa?
Like a Cape Town or
yes. That's on my list too. That's a good one. Okay.
Yeah.
What's your go-to equipment that you can't shoot without?
Well, obviously the cameras. No, I'm kidding.
Specific.
Right.
Don't forget the cameras.
Right, right.
Is there a specific like tool that you're like, don't forget to pack that? Or maybe a particular camera?
I have a lens that, so the lens that I started with, where my friend asked me to come help him do the shoot and all that good stuff, it was a 50 millimeter lens. Mm-hmm. I always keep it in my bag as like a this is where you started type lens.
I love that sense. Wow.
Yeah, it ended up being my favorite lens though. So like, if there's a lens that I'll always have like a soft spot for, it would be that particular lens.
That's your baby. Okay. Yeah. Personal habit that contributes to your success. One.
Personal habit. Let's see. I don't know if this is a habit, but I consider myself a pretty good self-motivator. I don't need someone yelling in my ear telling me to get up and go do this, to go do it. Like I know I have to do it.
And so you're just well disciplined, we'll say.
Yeah. I have.
That's a good one. Because sometimes we get, you know, complacent, but like you need to self-motivate yourself. Okay, good one. Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Wait, why did you pause?
I had to think about it because I don't really drink either. But if I
were to, well, what do you drink?
I drink a lot of water. Water. My wife jokes all the time, like, you always gotta go to the bathroom. I'm like, well, I drink a lot of water. Green juice. Gotta have my green juice.
Love my green. You like juicing.
I'll say okay.
Please do. Okay, book or podcast?
Oof. Podcast.
Running outdoors or treadmill?
Outdoors.
Okay. If not photography, what else would it be? What's the next? It's not an accountant, obviously. Like, if not photography, what next? If you left this business today, for whatever reason, what would you do next?
Comedy?
I love it. Okay. Okay. So if you could have lunch with anyone in the world, who would it be? And I have a follow-up question for that. And what one question, if you had one question for them, what would you ask them?
Oh, man.
I know, rapid fire.
I know we spoke earlier, but I don't want to say Gary Vee because we talked about Gary Vee. I'm a person to sit down and have lunch with. Wow. Man. That's a tough one. Now, who am I like inspired by? Like, I love. All right, I'll throw a curveball. I'm gonna go with Drake.
Drake, okay. What would you ask Drake?
I think in a lot of ways, you know, I don't know the man's personal life, you know, and I just look at the art and the work with most of these people. Drake is someone I feel like in a lot of ways I kind of relate to. Because of his like, I don't know. I always feel like I kind of connect to him and like the things he says and his how he kind of approaches things, like the interviews he decides to take on, and it's very interesting. Like you won't catch him like on a Shade Room interview or something like that. He's kind of particular about who he decides to speak with and things like that. I think I will have a conversation with him. Okay. And see like what like his mindset with things. I know that's a curve, very random.
No, I mean it's your person. So do you have a particular question? He's like, you have one chance, just ask me one thing.
What would I ask him? I'll ask him this. Hey, look, when you get married, I'm shooting your wedding, right?
That's a good one. Lock in your spot when you can.
I love it. When you get married, you know. We're here.
Lock me in. Get your retainer. I would be like, can I get a retainer for your wedding? I love that. Okay, good. And then my last question would be, what is your definition of success? I know.
I think I have something for that. Okay, so a lot of times we think success is like, okay, you know, this person, you know, you shot the cover of Vogue or you got this. You got this big, nice house, or man, look what your work got in you, this nice car. or these different accomplishments, but none of that really matters if you're not at peace with yourself. So I think success is a continuous thing. I think you're successful in your life once you're at peace with what you're doing.
And understanding, big.
Yeah, and understanding that there is no, I always say this all the time. My wife's like, you say this all the time. I'm like, there is no making it. Because what is making it, right? Okay, I shot the cover of so-and-so and now I'm here. So what's making it? There's always going to be that next wedding. There's always going to be that next big opportunity. Mm-hmm. It's being at peace with the journey that makes you successful. So like whenever like room you enter, whoever you talk to, you have this like aura about yourself because you're just so content with what you're doing. You're happy with where you're heading and your journey and just how you go about things. Because if you keep looking at what somebody else has and all these things that it look like they're accomplishing, you think that's success. You think that if you got that, yeah, I'm successful. Like how, like what, you don't really measure what success is. You can't just walk around and be like, I'm a successful person, but why? Mm-hmm. You ask most people, why do you think you're successful? They're going to say, well, you know, I made, you know, six figures last year and so-and-so. That's cool. That is successful. But I think successful is more on like a self thing, like a self-reflection type thing.
Peace. That is big when success you think about it. Yeah. Wow. Love to, told you, you're so wise. I was not expecting peace. I don't know what I was expecting, but that's huge. Like I'm thinking about it like, okay, love that. Okay. Yeah. So final question for you. If you could go back to 2015, what advice would you give yourself?
Oh, wow.
When it all started, when you got hired as a second photographer and held your first camera.
Yep. What would I tell myself? Don't worry about what everybody else has going on. Because I've definitely fell into that trap, I guess you could say. Like, okay, so-and-so's doing this, so-and-so's doing that. Hey, they're killing it. Wow.
Comparison, yeah.
Yeah, comparison. It's the thief of joy.
Yeah.
But now in my mindset, I'm so like in our own lane.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful feeling. And I don't mean that to be like, I don't mean that to be that I'm like, you know, nobody talking to me. That's just me being true to myself and knowing what I like and what I don't like. Like I used to do that traveling the world and shooting weddings all over the world would make me content and happy. And now I realize I don't really like to travel that much. I like being home, you know?
I feel like I don't like to unpack every weekend if we're ever
like living out of a suitcase, you know? And I had to experience that to realize that this is not what fulfills me. I love just capturing love, and whoever trusts us to do that, we don't got to fly to the moon to make that happen.
Yeah. I'm
right here. You know what I'm saying? So I think just being content with who you are and what you really like, not what you think looks like happiness, then you're good to go.
Wow. Amazing. And we have to bring you back on a podcast because we have so much to talk about and so many gems. I'm just like, what else can we gem in here? But great conversation. Thank you for sharing your insights, your wisdom, your vulnerability, all of it. And I'm excited for people to listen to the podcast and read the magazine and just absorb all the stuff, the energy that you give. I just think you're doing such an amazing job at everything. So thank you for your time and of course your wisdom and just being able to share.
I'm excited to see, and you know, let's keep doing it. Let's keep making magic.
Let's keep doing it. Well, thank you all for listening.
That is all we've got for this episode. If you enjoyed today's episode, I share more tips and strategies inside my coaching membership experience for wedding and event creatives called Creatives Corner. This is where you get me live coaching you every week with strategies to grow your business and keep you motivated and accountable. If you're not a member yet, go to thekeshexperience.com to join the waitlist so that you can get notified when we open our doors again. Can't wait to see you there. Until next time, remember, your dreams don't work unless you do.